Good evening, Anons. It's Cyanon once again. You know, HHG, we've heard from a lot of heavy hitters in the hierarchies of heaven and hell. Demons, dukes, princes, archangels, you name it. They've said their piece. But I don't know if you've noticed, Anons, but we've never heard from the big man himself. Trauma Train wants to take care of that tonight by letting us know in tonight's story where we learn, God says, feelings are for pussies. Chapter 1. Adam's claws clacked as they rippled along the azure-blue marble table of the embassy meeting room. He blew out a bored sigh, lazily eyeing the door as he ignored the pang of irritation building within him. Lucifer was late. Again. He wasn't surprised. Lucifer was always late. The King of Hell had a grace period of 75 minutes, so of course the man was always 66 minutes and 6 seconds late. Every fucking time. Then again, he didn't have much room to complain. They both had their petty vices. Adam yawned, mask brandishing golden fangs as his lips receded. Reclining in his seat, an outstretched hand turned palm up in expectation.
Rib me, bitch.
A sterling silver plate piled high with steaming Kansas City-style spare ribs glistened in almost translucent mahogany as they descended gingerly onto a proffered claw. He swiped one from the plate before setting it down with a clink. It was barely in his mouth before the tender meat was melting on his tongue like molasses.
Oh, these are so fucking good.
He moaned in bliss, all but feeling the glow of pride from their creator as she stood dutifully over his shoulder. He reached out his hand again, making a grabbing motion.
Hey, bring Daddy a beer, would ya?
Frosted brown glass met his fingers, chilling them even through his gloves. He tipped it back with enthusiasm, downing a quarter of it before letting out a refreshed groan. 6 ribs and 2 bottles later, a long-suffering sigh interrupted his binging.
Slow down, sir, or do you want to get drunk before Lucifer even gets here?
The sounds of mastication halted. Slowly, carefully, Adam returned a pristine rib to his plate, giving a disgruntled look to no one in particular. He let out a sigh before grumbling internally.
This shit again. All right, first of all, bitch, Adam lectured. I'm a pre-gaming master, so I'm already wasted as fuck. Second, if I wanted your opinion, I'd ask for it. Third,
his eyes searched not the unlit and empty meeting room in hell, but the corresponding one in heaven from where he was projecting.
Where the fuck is loot?
Lined against the walls around him, his honor guard stood at attention. Behind him, his chef of the day flitted, another rather exuberant exorcist. But beside him was not his trusted second-in-command, the most psychotic of the new powers, his number one bitch, Loot. Instead, it was Vaggie, his number two bitch. Might not sound so bad, but she was a distant two.
Dropping off some last-minute paperwork with Sarah that you forgot again,
Vaggie groused. Though he couldn't see her face behind her mask, he could still imagine the dour look on her face, eyes bored and lips frowning.
If you need loot to dick-ride you so bad, you could have tried this revolutionary new strategy called doing your goddamn job.
Oh-ho-ho, cutting. Well, here's my retort.
Adam sucked in a chest-bursting breath, placing his hands on either side of his face as he blew the gnarliest raspberry in human history. He should know. He'd been there for all of it. Vaggie stared straight ahead, eye twitching as she endured Adam's childish antics. However, as his somber rendition of Amazing Grace approached its end, she started to crack.
Oh, okay, sir. I get it. Cut it out,
she hissed with venom, though he could tell from the stilted stuttering she was about to break down. Adam suppressed a knowing smirk, instead allowing the song to come to a mournful end.
Wait for it.
he thought as he noted the way Vachi kept her body under tension, still fighting to keep herself under control. And when he saw her begin to relax, he pounced.
Now!
Immediately, he launched into Last Resort by Papa Roach, belting out the closest thing to a power chord he could manage. Vaggie's expression broke like glass, shattering into laughter the moment she recognized the song.
Stop!
Her begging was strangled by wild cackling that left her breathless. She leaned heavily on her spear, legs threatening to give out beneath her as she shook like a newborn foal.
Please!
But Adam didn't relent. His masterful performance was ruthless, a peerless display of musical talent in the form of symphonic fart noises. He launched into what was somehow, clearly, distinctly, a guitar solo by way of Raspberry.
I can't breathe!
She gasped, slowly descending to the floor as she was brought low by his onslaught.
It's too much! Stop!
He let out one last, calamitous crescendo of a note, then placed his hands on either side of his hips, grinning like a cat.
That's what she said,
he proclaimed proudly, grabbing another rib with a raised pinky finger and taking a delicate bite. Adam returned to his gluttonous ways with smug satisfaction, moans verging on indecent as he did. Meanwhile, Vaggie struggled for life, writhing on the ground as the sound of Adam's performance haunted her. She'd approach calm momentarily, clutching her chest as she stiffened, only to descend back into cackling fits after a momentary pause. Great gaggling guffaws faded to girlish giggles as Vaggie wrested back control. He'd nearly cleared his plate by the time she succeeded, taking a deep breath as she calmed. Her joints popped as she stood, and with a clear of her throat, was back to her factory default setting of sourpuss.
In all seriousness, though, sir, Lucifer seems to be running later than usual, so you might want to slow down. Unless you plan to run out early.
Adam paused, a rib hovering tantalizingly close to his tongue. He made a bitter face.
Fine, Mom.
He folded his arms, pouting as he looked away.
I hope you know that when I get back, I'm giving Lute standing orders to fist you up to the elbow every night until she finds that stick lodged up your ass.
Love you too, sir.
Vaggie deadpanned. She had a point, though he was loath to admit it. Eating all his food now would sort of defeat the purpose, even if he did love the fuck out of some ribs. He returned to tapping away on the table, trying his best to keep his patience as he waited. He hated playing these stupid fucking games with that jaundice-eyed prick, but that didn't mean he didn't do his best to win anyway. Adam snapped his fingers anyway, gold numbers swirling in front of him as he checked the time with a simple spell.
What the fuck is taking him so long anyway?
Lucifer was now nearing the limit of his grace period. Not something the vertically challenged. He might always be late, but he's usually prompt about it. Oh, fucking weirdo. And then the doors cracked open.
Hello?
Called out a hesitant, feminine voice. Adam froze, stomach plummeting. There was only one woman that had access to this room. Only one that might show up with, or instead of, Lucifer. She'd never, ever done so, but that was definitely not Lucifer's voice. But that thought died instantly. It wasn't her. Her voice was not so high and lilting, nor would it ever sound so hesitant and unsure. The door slid open, and he felt a strange combination of relief and disappointment to find his assessment accurate. Dwarfed by the doorframe was... Femme Lucifer? Lucigirl? Girlifer? Same pale skin, same rosy cheeks, same brilliant blonde hair, same sickly yellow eyes... but clearly, distinctly not Lucifer. Her features were too impish and bright, all curves and soft lines narrowing to rounded ends. But it was, of all things, the red tuxedo she wore that truly exonerated her in his eyes. Lucifer would never part with his garish apple theme. At least, not when meeting Adam. He incorporated it everywhere for the same reason Adam always ate like a pig. Sheer, unadulterated pettiness. Old Scratch wouldn't be able to resist incorporating it in some small way. He was too arrogant not to. Adam's eyes drank the girl in, searching her large, curious eyes. "What are you planning this time?" he wondered.
"Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?"
the girl called out. She entered nervously, but with a firm determination, as if she'd spent some time summoning up the courage to be here. Why isn't she turning on the lights? She clearly can't see. Whatever. Roll with it. Adam leaned back, posture guarded but relaxed as he cleared his throat.
"Hit it!"
he commanded, and the lights switched on, paired with a casual, "Sup?" The girl let out a startled shriek, tumbling to the floor and landing on her butt. He suppressed a snicker, plastering on a fake smile. Dits, then. Yeah. He could work with that.
"Hey there, you good, Blondie? Didn't mean to scare ya,"
he lied easily. The girl's head snapped up, lavishly thick lashes batting at him furiously, her large eyes offering him owlish blinks behind a waterfall of spun gold. She gave the uncooperative bangs an affronted glare, then a puff of air, both of which were received to lethargic response. She puffed out her cheeks as she pouted, then meticulously began fixing her hair. Damn, she was kinda hot, actually.
"Oh, I'm fine. I mean, it's fine. No, that's not..."
She paused, taking a steadying breath.
"What I meant to say is, I'm okay. But, thanks for asking, though."
She leapt to her feet, brushing herself off and letting out a small sigh before clearly steeling herself. She reaffixed her attention to him, brandishing her unreasonable level of cheer like a deadly weapon.
"My name is Charlie. I'll be filling in for my dad today."
"Yeah, I know,"
Adam lied casually, gaze retreating from her. He absolutely did not know that. He barely even knew who she was, struggling to recall what fragments he could manage from decades-old briefings or idle gossip.
"She's Lucifer's daughter, and..."
He paused, racking his mind as he searched for more.
"Damn, drawing a blank. Fuck."
He would never let her know any of that, of course. Instead, he would meet her saccharine smiles with his own disused courtesy. The girl blinked again, her face blanking for a moment as if she weren't expecting his easy acceptance, and now didn't quite know what to do with it now that she had it.
"Oh, well..."
She hesitated a moment before offering a hand and damn near charging him with it.
"It's nice to meet you."
She was too much to be real, he decided. Too bright. Too bubbly. Too perky. Too seemingly sincere to be anything other than a lie. She was downright aggressive about it, like she was afraid he wouldn't believe her. Which he didn't. It was all enhanced by the aura of inexperience she radiated. It made him feel...
"It's nice to meet you, too,"
he replied, extending a hand back. There was a moment when he could see the brightness in her eyes and the breadth of her smile peak, like she was going to split right into two. He relished that moment, and the next as well, as he allowed her hand to pass through his and watch that light die.
"Ha!"
He slammed a fist on the table and pointed a finger in her face. She flinched, eyes crossing as they followed his fingertip till it brushed her button nose. Combined with the way her lips pursed in surprise, it gave her the dumbest look. But she was hot.
I got you, bitch. Loot, did you?
He was already halfway turned around before he remembered she wasn't there. For a moment, his jaw was like steel. But only for a moment. Vaggie, meanwhile, wasn't about to take the alley-oop. Instead, she watched silently and impassively as she maintained her militant vigilance. He forced the uncomfortable feeling aside and turned back to the blonde.
Oh, you should have seen your face!
A dumbfounded look crossed the girl's face, replaced quickly by sincere curiosity.
How did you... Are you not here?
She waved a hand through his projection, causing it to glitch.
Not yet, huh?
Adam squinted his eyes as he examined her reaction for clues.
Just you wait. I'll get you to drop that stupid fucking act.
No. What, you thought I would come down there?
Adam scoffed, waving his hand cattily. It crossed his mind that he should really be evaluating her as a potential threat, and he settled on a double meaning.
No way. I mean, I dig it. I love the vibes. Love your tunes.
The lack of reaction, even the smallest, to that last word bothered him more than he'd rather admit.
Super hardcore, but it's just so... Blah.
He held up his hands like they were claws and bared his teeth. His chuckles quickly grew strained as an unbidden memory of red skies and familiar screams flashed in his mind.
Ew,
he finished hurriedly. She gave him an uncertain look.
Right. So I should say that I'm super excited we got this opportunity to meet.
She threw her arms wide, a brilliant smile on her face. It was more clearly fake than before, vindicating his prior paranoia.
I've been wanting to talk to you for a very long time, you see.
You know, if I didn't know who her parents were, I might actually believe this shit. If she were an angel...
He cut that thought off before it went somewhere dangerous. It wasn't important because she wasn't an angel. She was the hellborn daughter of the devil himself. Therefore, she was tricking him, or planning to trick him. Somehow. Well, he wouldn't let her.
Hey, slow down. We got plenty of time,
he advised, spreading his arms magnanimously.
Why don't we get to know each other, How about some lunch, huh?
He shot finger guns at her.
Don't worry, I got you.
He offered her his plate of ribs with a pleased smile.
Here's my personal favorite. You'll love it.
The princess gave him an appraising look, then clearly deciding that he couldn't possibly be so much of an asshole as to pull the same trick a second time, reached for the ribs.
Oh, thanks.
Only for her hand to pass right through the hologram again.
I got you again, bitch! Fucking hilarious!
He mocked, filled with satisfaction at the depths of his own childish pettiness as her face soured. With his millennia of experience fucking with people, he expertly divined that she was already 110% done with his shit, give or take 10%.
Aw, your little nice girl routine isn't working out like you thought it would, huh? Poor thing. He gloated internally. Come on. What are you after, bitch?
Oh, man. That was good.
He flicked away a tear, not bothering to hide his glee at her misery. She made her disapproval known by way of unimpressed look, which Adam received like the gift it was.
Aw, don't be like that, babe. I'm just messing with ya.
The girl's smile was not simply forced. It was tortured into compliance. So clearly fake that it might as well have said, made in greed.
I know, I'm just a little... tense. And, nervous. This is my first time, you know.
Adam opened his mouth.
Filling in for my dad.
she added quickly, sensing what was coming next. Adam's mouth closed, but the smug grin didn't leave his face.
And, well,
she sighed, and her grin faded a bit, face becoming more serious. After her earlier exuberance, it was almost strange to see. Determination suited her, though, like a kitten trying to catch a laser pointer.
We just have so much to go over, and so little time to do it,
Like I said, don't worry your pretty little head about that, babe,
he dismissed, gratified by the way she bristled at his patronizing tone. Her smile was so tight it might have well been painted on, brow furrowed in frustration.
We got, like, a shitload of time to get through everything,
he assured her easily. Internally, he sized up his plate of ribs.
Take me a good, 30 minutes to finish these if I drag it out, right? I can stall for that long.
He snatched one up at the thought, peeling flesh from bone with enthusiasm.
Besides,
he continued, speaking through his mastications,
it's like super important to establish a relationship when doing diplomacy or whatever the fuck. How are we supposed to trust each other and shit? We don't know each other.
He resisted the urge to stare her down instead of focusing on his food. There. The persona she's crafted couldn't turn down logic like that. The princess's eyes widened and he knew he had her.
That's actually a really good point. Maybe it is better if we get to know each other first.
She reclaimed her faux sincerity, all but sparkling as she smacked a fist into her palm.
Oh, I know just the thing. Why don't we play a game of 20...
Exactly!
He interrupted, chugging the rest of his beer and throwing it over his shoulder. A gray-gloved hand sat down another one next to him. He shot his server a wink and she giggled.
You know I'm in a band, right? Yeah, I play guitar. Check it.
There was a swirl of golden light, and his massive guitar axe was gleaming in his hands. His fingers expertly flew across shining silver strings as he launched into the sweetest riff that had ever graced creation. Or, at least, the sweetest since his last, and until his next.
Oh, yeah!
Adam sang as the sound waned. He looked down at her as the notes faded, an admittedly haughty grin on his face as he did. He was being too fucking awesome not to.
It's no big deal,
he downplayed with a shrug, letting his guitar disappear into golden dust. He snickered.
Wait, what am I saying? Of course it's a big fucking deal. I'm me.
The guitar reappeared in his hands with a clarion ring, and the music returned.
I fucking rock!
Adam continued rocking for a good few minutes, losing himself a bit in the sound. Damn, it was good to be him. His guitar growled as he finished his impromptu show, the music fading as he hammered on the final notes. The guitar disappeared once more, and his arms were spread in clear expectation of adulation as he gave a bow.
Yeah, that's nice.
The princess acknowledged with a small nod, black cupid lips curled in a polite but strained smile.
Nice? Nice? That was sick as fuck. Spontaneous or not, he was the best musician that had ever lived. And it wasn't close.
He had hundreds of thousands of years behind his back, had been shredding on electric guitars since before they'd been invented on Earth. His guitar had 18 strings and 9 courses. He was the greatest of all time. And she just got in a personal show. Lucifer's daughter or not, she could at least be grateful.
But it's really all about the music, though, right? Just letting the world know what's inside.
He balled his hand up into a fist and solemnly placed it above his heart, symbolic of an impassioned plea.
It's all about finding that special sound that empowers you, right?
There's no way she could miss that one, he thought to himself. Somehow, though, the blondie had a renewed light in her eyes, and she was nodding frantically.
Oh, yeah, I totally get what you mean. I love to sing.
His eyes narrowed. Oh?
Like, super, super love it. People actually get really annoyed.
She laughed nervously, trailing off a bit and eyes darting away as she pushed a lock of hair behind her. Damn, but she was hot. The brat clasped her hands tightly as he returned her gaze.
But every once in a while I get this connection with others around me, and it makes it all worth it.
This girl was either a true fucking moron or executing some 200 IQ play, and he really didn't like the fact that he couldn't tell which. Well, unless she was... He fought the urge to physically shake his head. Yeah, right. As if. Adam snorted a laugh, a sneer playing on his face.
Wow, you actually fucking bought that? What a fucking loser!
He pointed his finger at her, savoring the way her smile shattered. She collapsed into her chair with a warbling sigh, her face looking so dejected and hurt he almost felt some kind of sympathy. The chair was sized for him, and so far, far too large for her. If it had been cushioned, she would have sunk into it like quicksand, though if her face was any indication, that might very well have been a welcome outcome for her. Damn, what a fucking bummer.
About the music?
He scoffed, breaking eye contact so he didn't have to look at that sad-ass face she was making.
No, bitch, it's about the fame! The fortune! The fucking party!
He gave her a salacious smirk.
And most importantly, of course, all the horny angel pussy!
The princess gave a lethargic, unimpressed blink in response. Her eyes were unfocused, staring past him and into the distance as she ignored him.
Ignored him? Him? Ignored him? The fucking nerve!
Adam couldn't stand it, redoubling his efforts to fuck with her.
Some bitches, though, they're just so stuck up about it, right?
He paused, hoping to cut her off again as she answered. He fought a frown when she didn't rise to the bait.
I was playing this show last weekend, and there was this purity virtue chick there. You know, the type, right? The ones that are all like, ooh, I'm gonna save myself for marriage! But then they touch dick, and suddenly they need it to breathe.
He checked his nails, sending her a meaningful glance. But she still said nothing. What the fuck was up with that? That wasn't fair. She was supposed to crack, not shut him out. He scowled before returning to his story.
Anyway, I was playing this gig, and this virtue chick was digging on the drummer, and it's like, do you know who I am?
He leaned forward, eyebrow raised in doubt because, well, who the fuck didn't know who the first man was?
I'm fucking Adam, the original dick. All dicks descend from me. You think you want drummer dick? No way, I'm the dick fucking master.
He took another bite of his ribs. She still wasn't saying anything. Fucking lame, so fucking lame. So fucking lame that he was so fucking over trying to fish for a reaction. If she wanted to play that game, then the ball was in her court.
So, anyway, we fucked, and it was awesome. What did you do this weekend?
The blonde just kept staring out into space for a moment, still saying nothing. It was so out of character. She should have been tearing her hair out right now as she tried to regain control of the conversation without compromising her cover as a naive, nice girl. What the fuck was she doing? Why wasn't she losing her shit? Before he could figure out what game she was playing, she perked up, a look of realization washing over her features.
Wait, your name is Adam, like the first man, Adam, that means you...
Her face scrunched, as if she'd bitten into something particularly bitter.
Oh, that explains so much.
In an act of irony he often relished, he threw devil horns.
I know. I fucking rock.
Internally, though, he was seething. What a fucking bitch. First of all, who did she think she was fooling? Like her parents would send her here without telling her who he was. Everyone knew who he was. Second of all, how fucking dare that smug cunt act like he was anything other than the absolute shit? She clapped her hands together.
Oh, I actually thought you were like some high-level heavenborn or something. Sort of like the Ars Goetia or the Sins.
She paused, a horrified look coming over her face.
Wait, if you're... Then that means...
How a face already as paper white as hers could get pale, he couldn't tell you. But she managed it. It was kind of impressive, actually, the way it left her looking almost translucent. It also set off a warning bell in his mind.
How could you?
Her voice was suddenly appalled, no, horrified. Her face matched, twisting in confusion and disgust.
How could you kill millions of your own descent?
His reaction was instant.
They are not my children!
Adam erupted in rage. All thoughts of mind games and playful taunts fled from his mind, replaced by outrage at the accusation. He would never hurt his children, and he wouldn't stand to hear them insulted by comparing them to those...
They're filthy fucking demons!
His voice came out delayed, twisted and distorted as it struggled to convey the extent of his rage. Adam hit the ground with a thud that shook the embassy, a golden light burning from his massive wings. He approached her with heavy steps, claws brandished, and arms bent as he lumbered towards her.
Lower than men! Lower than beasts! Lower than the bugs that writhe in the very dirt!
He raged. The demon took fearful steps back, eyes locked on him in terror.
Sir?
It was not so much the image on his face as the mask itself that began to distort. The golden light boiling the angelic glass weave as it struggled to free itself from its confines. Rising flecks of gold and flickering electric arcs caressed it possessively, his power destroying it from the inside out. He could not, however, bring himself to care.
Sir!
From the moment they were cast into hell!
Adam shook, eyes leaving her for a moment as he bent slightly, hands balled into fists by his face.
No.
From the moment they committed whatever crime against humanity landed them in the pit, they ceased to be anything of mine.
His voice grew pained.
They had a choice, and they chose to leave me alone.
The emergency shutdown finally engaged, cutting out his voice and shutting down the show of lights.
Adam!
He turned to the voice's owner, Vaggi. He couldn't see her face beneath that mask, but he could still see the concern there. Her hand was on his arm, touch firm but pleading.
Sir, please.
Adam stood there, letting Vaggi's touch ground him. He was left panting by his rant, sweat and heavy breaths turning the air within his mask hot and humid. A few minutes later, her hand retreated, leaving him feeling strangely hollow, as if she were taking something important with her. He turned back to the girl he'd been menacing, and the image that greeted was... This time, he saw her not through the imaging system that overwhelmed him with lurid colors, but through the unlit, unenhanced, smoky glass of his mask. He blinked the fury from his eyes, clearing his vision of the red haze that had overtaken him. He knew, objectively, she must have been tall as fuck to come up to his chest like she did, even if the crown of her head was just barely brushing his ribs. He was practically a giant before modern humans, and his exterminator uniform made him larger than even that. But in that moment, she just looked so utterly small to him. Every part of her body was flattened against the wall, apparently trying her damned hardest to move through it. Her chest heaved as she panted, small mouth agape as she sucked down great breaths. Those large eyes of hers were teary, wide, and clearly terrified as they locked onto him. Despite himself, despite how he knew she was a liar, and he knew she was tricking him, and who her parents were, and where she was from, and how many times he'd seen little innocent-looking fuckers that looked at him the same way right before stabbing him in the dick. Despite all that, some long-forgotten, broken thing buried deep within him ached for him to stop. A moment of world weariness passed through him, carrying with it melancholic memories filled with regrets and never-agains. He took a deep breath and went for the hard reset button of his mask hidden under his jaw. The screens flickered back to life, back to horrid, flickering, unreadable life.
Oh, man.
His voice was left with a glitchy, digitized quality. He backed away from her, quirking his head with what he hoped was an appreciative smile and nodding a finger at her.
Holy shit, you got me. You actually got me.
He clapped, his forceful laughs equal parts exasperated and frustrated.
How many fucking centuries has it been? Fuck, it's been a fucking while since someone got under my skin like that.
He kept his eyes on the princess, who was still completely frozen, chest heaving and the soft light revealing the faintest shimmer of sweat on her pallid skin. But now, rather than scared, she just seemed wary. Had she even been afraid of him in the first place? Or was that just his mind playing tricks on him again?
But not good enough. You'll never get me to break the treaty.
He grinned.
Oh, man. I wish I could see his face when you tell him. You almost had me.
He laughed again, now an empty, hollow thing. One hand flew to his forehead, and the other balled into a fist so tight it drew golden ichor. His laughter trailed off into a resigned sigh. He ripped the doors to the meeting room open, sending it chattering into the wall and making the girl jump. He glowered at her, grabbing her wrist and yanking her close, much closer than he'd intended, her slight figure pressing up against him.
This meeting is over. Tell that cowardly snake of a father of yours that I'll see him next year.
And then she was being tossed out. The princess hit the ground hard, skidding a bit before quickly scrambling back to the doors. She reached out her hand, panic in her eyes.
Wait, don't!
But the embassy had already recognized Adam's cue, and the doors slammed shut. Adam stood there for a moment, staring at the doors. There was a fleeting thought, a feeling he'd rather not name. He squashed it. Her parents were liars. She was a liar. They were all liars. He'd learned that the hard way millennia ago.
So fuck 'em.
Charlie stared at the double doors to her mother's mansion, two mirrored solid blocks of charcoal walnut engraved with intricate patterns of vicious thorny vines that twisted together as if alive. Her hand hesitated just above the Damascus-patterned black Corinthian bronze handle, her mind a whirlwind of emotion as she played over the events of the meeting. She'd gone into the meeting with admittedly high hopes. Perhaps too high, but potential issues just weren't something that she liked to think about. She'd seen the power a defeatist attitude could have over you every time her father tried to do pretty much anything. And yet, she couldn't help but wonder, where had it all gone so wrong? It had been the simple reminder that the sinners he so routinely slaughtered were, in fact, his own descendants, that had sent him flying into a rage. And yet, he hadn't been interested in what she had to say from the very beginning. So, what did it all mean in the end? There were so many questions she wanted to ask, those she had entered with, of course, but now she had so many more. Why was he so hell-bent on shutting her down so completely? What was he trying to avoid? Was it pettiness over her parentage? Did he have some greater agenda? Or was he just so self-centered that...
Are you going to come in? Or are you just going to stare at the door?
Charlie nearly leapt out of her skin, breathing hard and clutching her heart as it tried to pound its way out of her chest.
Holy shit, Mom, don't do that!
Her mother simpered her signature, all-knowing smile, her eyes glimmering with mischief.
I'm not the bundle of anxiety your father is, but I'll admit that when I saw you just standing out here, I couldn't help but worry.
The princess stayed silent, mind racing with potential answers. The platitudes she could offer, the potential misdirections, the conceivable deflections. But the meeting with Adam had left her too shaken. Instead, what came out was a question, spoken in an uncharacteristically small voice.
Why didn't you tell me the leader of the exorcist army was Adam? Why didn't you tell your father the embassy called to reschedule?
She countered. Charlie scoffed, looking away.
Avoiding the question as always,
she groused internally.
Would he have let me go if I had?
Her mother's eyes wandered as she inhaled softly through her nose.
Perhaps it would be better if we had this conversation inside, dear. I do believe it's going to rain soon.
Charlie frowned and opened the door, pushing her way inside. Her mother's house was timeless and yet distinctly other. The place was all violets and reds and dark walnut grain. Sullen wine-colored wallpaper with black swirls of thorns covered the walls, vague, bird-like faces hidden in the swirls watching her in silence as she passed. Paintings in all manner of style and period littered the walls. Precious few of them were of family, and even less featured her father. It seemed anemic to her, but then again, the only other point of comparison was her father's house, which had a regularly rotating selection depicting her and her mother, especially her mother, with every variation of horns physically possible. By the time she'd reached the parlor, Lilith was already there, pouring herself a glass of wine. Charlie made her way over to her favorite seat, a massive thing by the fireplace she could practically disappear into. Yet the plush cushions offered her no comfort this time. Everything felt too... tense. A blink, and her mother was sitting on the armrest of the chair, wine glass in hand as she looked down on her daughter with heavily lidded eyes and her knowing smirk. Charlie noted her horns today. Slender and curved like an attic's, but oily black with a red sheen. Once, twice, a third time there was an intake of breath cut short as a question died. Instead, what came out was a simple, strangled statement.
Dad was right.
And then the tears started. Lilith said nothing, just waiting for her daughter to continue. Charlie leaned forward, hunching as she rested her forearms on her knees.
He didn't even give me the chance to ask. He wasted something like half an hour being the most obnoxious person I've ever met. Even worse than Mammon. I didn't know you could be more obnoxious than Mammon. And then when I realized who he was and pointed out sinners were his descendants, he just... furious.
Her eyes were wide and glassy as she recalled the scene, hands raised as if expecting the memory to drop from the air.
I mean, he just launched into this screaming rant and...
She recalled how he had loomed over her, his massive wings even now filling her vision. The massive shadow he cast had contrasted starkly with the flickering embers and sparks highlighting his features as they contorted and boiled.
Just the level of hate he had. I've never seen anything like it.
Charlie could find no words to describe it. She was sheltered, she knew, but not so much that she'd never seen anger or hate before. Yet the depths of Adam's rage had yawned before her like an ocean, the abyss of his mania threatening to consume her.
But...
Charlie thought back to the conversation, played it over and over again in her mind. No matter how many times she did, it just felt like she was missing something. Maybe a lot of somethings. A lot of somethings that seemed important somehow. Even if she couldn't figure out why or how.
I want to go again next year anyway, she declared.
The wine glass hesitated just before it met Lilith's lips, a kiss away from the woman's light draught. She set the glass down for a moment, turning her eyes to Charlie as her hand found its way through her daughter's hair, running through it until she found her shoulder.
Of course you do. Why am I surprised? Though I do wonder if you got that stubborn streak of yours from your father or from me.
Charlie laughed, sniffing as she wiped at her eyes.
Dad always said I got both, and they multiply.
She paused, expression morose.
Thanks for... not stopping me.
A wry smile crossed her mother's lips.
Admittedly, the thought of you meeting with... Adam...
She said the name carefully, her upper lip curling slightly.
Doesn't exactly thrill me, she mused. But who am I to deprive you of pursuing your dreams, no matter how ill-advised the methods?
Her mother took another light sip of her wine.
Besides, he'd never hurt you with heaven there to watch him, though he is a reckless idiot. So watch out for that.
She gained a faraway look in her eye, she brooded.
Still, I was never the one you had to convince. If you want to go back, it's your father you'll have to persuade, and all after you already snuck off and betrayed his trust.
Her daughter gave her a bitter smile, a familiar glint of mischief twinkling in her tearful eyes.
Not if the embassy keeps calling Dad's new number to schedule the meetings.
The precise source of her daughter's stubborn streak might be in question, but the donor of her audacity certainly wasn't. It was such a strange feeling, watching it from the outside. Lilith downed the rest of her glass. In heaven, every winner had a house that suited them perfectly. Not a single bedroom more than you could use, nor a single bathroom less than could be desired. Every amenity one could want, with the precise stylings one wanted it, and all in a layout that was always familiar, always convenient. Adams was vast and palatial, perched on a secluded bluff overlooking the ocean. It was a mix of every style of architecture from every year, from every era. It was an Egyptian temple. It was a Gothic mausoleum. It was a Greek amphitheater. It was a penthouse suite. It was a forbidden city. It was everything from every culture that had ever existed. But only the fucking sweet parts, of course. All cast in blacks, whites, and shimmering gold, with a subtle touch of melancholic violet. The large doors to his hallowed hall burst open, and in staggered the first man himself. Back hunched and golden wings drooping, he drug himself past a procession of art that spanned the ages. Beginning with charcoal cave drawings, it rapidly progressed to geometric inlays of stone and distorted statuettes, onto pottery of all shapes and sizes wrapped in entire stories. then burnished bronze and painted marble busts, a few frescoes, woven tapestries, Renaissance oil paintings, hand-drawn posters, photographs in faded sepia tones and muddy black and white, all the way to modern digital band posters and magazines. And all depicting him. The father of all humanity. The nominal king of winners. Always a warrior. Always a musician. Always a musician. Always indomitable. Always Adam. The first fucking man. Adam pressed his thumb against the release behind his ear, letting the glass weave slacken. With a sigh of relief, he ripped off his mask, flinging it to the side and collapsing into the plush black velvet of an ornate chaise face first. Lute switched the light on, revealing herself in rather dramatic fashion. Her arms were already folded, yellow eyes already glaring down at him disapprovingly.
"You're late. And trunk?"
Adam mumbled something clever into the cushions.
"Well, sir, I would have been there if you had dropped off those invoices 4 weeks ago like you were supposed to,"
she countered easily. He grumbled a totally sick burn.
"Sir, with all due respect, stop being such a pussy."
Lute frowned down at him.
"You're better than that, and you're better than him."
This time, Adam's response wasn't the whiny tone she had grown so used to, but rather something small and soft.
"What?"
Again came that soft response, this time a little louder.
"Sir, I still can't hear you."
Adam lifted his head.
"I said he wasn't there, you deaf bitch,"
he slurred, his words fading away as his head drifted back down. Lute looked away. That, if Lucifer wasn't there, then did that mean it had been... That would explain why he was so out of it.
"Do you want to tell me what happened or not?"
He freed just his mouth this time, cheeks still pressed up against the soft velvet of the chaise.
"They sent their fucking crotch spawn. Caught me off guard."
It was several long seconds before Lute responded.
"She asked about Eden."
"She asked about Eden."
It wasn't a question, because everyone asked about Eden. Adam reached for a pillow, pulling it over his head. He said nothing as he hid beneath it.
"You need to get to bed, sir,"
she told him.
Now there was the whining she was looking for.
A time before time. Eden. One moment he was not, the next he was.
Sight, sound, touch, taste, smell, time, balance, temperature, existence. It all hit him at once. A noise came from him unbidden, and his vision spun.
First, things were blue. Then there was a light burning out his eyes. Then they were green. And now he was in pain. He flailed and writhed, incoherent and uncomprehending. Could not understand. Could not even begin to understand. Then, understanding was forced into him. He was bursting, burning, breaking down. Before he knew, nothing. And now he knew too much, understood everything, more than he could bear to know.
Did we break him?"
a melodious voice asked.
"Impossible," a gruff one replied. "We've made millions of animals before. This one's no different."
"No different?
No different? No different?" came an excited tone. "We gave it a spark of creation, gave it context, gave it a soul. It is like us now, if confined to an imperfect mortal form."
"Him. The animal is male,"
corrected a gentle but stern voice.
"And I imagine he is very confused. Aren't you, Adam?"
He flinched,
the meaning of that word. It was him. He recognized it. He recognized a lot of things now. He could see nothing, vision filled with darkness, a lack of light. The hard thing he had fallen onto, that was the ground, a solid surface that would always be beneath him. The green he'd seen before, and the tickling feeling along his body, that was grass, a stationary organism that covered the ground. Carefully, he tried to stand. His body knew how, and he knew how, but it was not enough to know. He had never experienced, had never done it himself. His limbs shook with effort as he did everything not quite right. Used the wrong muscles, made the wrong movements, pushed against the ground the wrong way. He collapsed, and it took the breath from his lungs. He just couldn't seem to get enough air into them, chest heaving as he struggled to understand, to prioritize, to do anything right at all. Instead of continuing to struggle, he used what little, clumsy movements he could manage to roll onto his back. Green and brown was once more replaced by a searingly bright blue.
"I'm..."
he said, the movements of his mouth and throat instinctual and yet strange. Foreign. This was all too much, but he now had a word for what he felt, and there was relief in that.
"I'm scared."
The voices laughed, and he felt sick.
"Ha! The first man, and he's a coward!"
the excitable one jeered.
"I told you this wouldn't work."
"Perhaps we made a mistake after all,"
the gruff voice mused.
"A man should be braver than this. Perhaps we should unmake it and make another, a stronger one."
Unmake, to render undone, to not be. Destruction. His body tensed. They would do that to him? Just like that? Have him be and then just erase him? The thought terrified him. He didn't understand why, but he didn't want to be unmade. He wanted to live. He wanted to be. He inhaled, about to ask what he was doing wrong, when a voice spoke again.
"No, he just needs to learn to toughen up," the stern one insisted.
There was the movement, and a massive figure with severe features, dark skin and long white hair tinged with a faint blue, was standing over him. She was covered in eyes, each of them violently blue. An arc of light was suspended above her head, glowing sapphire orbs encrusted upon it like jewels, and her whole being burned a blinding blue light.
"Adam, you are a man. You know what that means, correct?"
Spoken as such, the word called to mind 100 different images and 100 different feelings. A muscled figure standing high above the world, a stern face withering a hail of blows without flinching, an impassive gaze finding that which was not as it was meant to be and forcing it into compliance. Yes, he understood what a man was. An enforcer, a worker, a leader. It sounded scary and dangerous. Unable to look away from this terrifying creature, he nodded, sniffling.
Yes.
Seraphiel frowned, her piercing eyes narrowing.
"Adam, we, your creators, have decided upon this, upon what a man is, and what it is meant to be. It is our vision for this world that matters, and you will be the one to help us enact it, because you are that man, the first man, and you will be the example for all others that come after you. You understand?"
That was terrifying. That was too much. How could he do that? Do anything of that? Be any of that? But he thought back to the other voice, what it had said about unmaking, and that terrifying concept of nothing that echoed behind that awful word.
He didn't have a choice, did he? He would be their man, or he would not be. And that, he didn't even want to think about that. He nodded again, tears rolling down his face.
Yes, I understand.
The angel's frown deepened and she looked away.
Maybe I was wrong. She hesitated. Perhaps this one is broken.
I'm sorry, I...
Adam gaped. His tears redoubled when Seraphiel's hard gaze fixed back on him.
I don't understand. Am I doing something wrong? Please, I'll do what you want. Just tell me what I need to do.
She looked at him solemnly.
You get one more chance, Adam, Seraphiel said. I will explain clearly. You are the first man. You are an example for those that come after.
I must do as a man does,
he guessed. Seraphiel nodded once.
Yes. Maybe you are disoriented? You do not realize?
Tell me,
he begged, his voice shaking.
Please.
Adam, you are crying. You are afraid. A man doesn't cry. A man is brave. Do you understand now?
She leaned down, her terrifying blue eyes boring into his mind.
You are a man, Adam. So act like one and stop crying.